A few verses from there, I said a short prayer and left the house and went away. I said I'd be back the next day to see him. The next day when I saw him, he told me that just a little while, I think it was a few minutes after I had left, he saw Christ in a wonderful and amazing vision. And that happened daily for many days after that time. And he wrote me letters describing his experiences. And they're the most wonderful and amazing letters describing his actual seeing of the Lord, seeing as we were saying on Christmas Eve at night, seeing right into heaven, the heavens open. And the change in his life was amazing. He had not been a drunkard or a drug addict, but he'd been rather a selfish and cold-hearted person. But the change in him was amazing because he was now full of radiant love. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, just before Christmas, this last year, I had a letter from him. He now lives in Italy. I hadn't heard from him for about 10 or maybe 15 years. And he's written a booklet in Italian explaining the gospel to the people with whom he lives. And he said in his letter to me, he says, my desire every day is that my love and faith will be stronger each day. Now he saw those wonderful visions. Heaven was open to him. I had never seen that. I didn't see that when I was with him. The normal way that we come to know the Lord is not by sight. That is just occasional. The normal way is when the Spirit uses the Word of God, when we hear it explained, or we read it. The Spirit brings us to trust the Lord like we have never done before. We walk by faith, not by sight, Paul said. I've often wished that maybe I would have had the same experience as my friend, the art teacher. But I remember the words of Christ, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. But on that day, when we see him as he is, on the day of the Lord, when we see him face to face, will it not be true that faith will have passed away? We won't need faith anymore because we'll see him. In one sense, that's true, but in another sense, it's not true. Because faith in the Lord also means trusting the Lord and relying on the Lord, and that will never pass away. As a little child relies on its parents and trusts its parents, so we, in God's purposes, should rely on him and trust him and his Son, our Savior. A child does not earn its parents' love. The parents love their child before the child has done anything, good or bad. That's grace. God loves us and cares for us before we do anything good or bad. That is his grace. We respond by trusting him. Unless you turn and become like little children, that doesn't mean childish, but childlike faith, you will not enter the kingdom of God. And that's the relationship that God intended from the beginning when he made us. There never will be a time, there isn't a time now, and there never was a time in God's purposes, either on earth or in heaven, when we earn God's favor as a man earns wages. You cannot earn God's favor. You will not do it in this world, and we will not do it in heaven. Faith is the way we come to God. And faith abides. It is eternal in that sense. Hope abides. Hope is what keeps us going in the future. It's something ahead of us that we look forward to, that keeps us going in life. Just as a young child looks forward with anticipation to school, and then to examinations, and then to training, and then to marriage, and then to a career, and then the fulfilling of that career, then to retirement. All these things ahead of us keep us going. Hope is what we need for life. The opposite of hope is despair, when we have no future. Now we live in a world where many have lost hope, got no God to turn to, no one in heaven to thank and praise, no God to whom to confess their sins, no resurrection to expect, no new birth for the world to expect, no heaven to look forward to. And the result is hopelessness. And the result of that is that we live in a society where we have to grab everything we can now in this life, because it's all there is, we think. And the result then in society is that society becomes even worse, because the grabbing of all we can now, if this is all that there is, will lead to greed, which leads to conflict, which leads to war. I'd just like to say here that faith and hope are the basis, really, of our civilization and our society. Having an eternal hope enables me to live with more meaning in the world. And if we remove faith and hope from that society, if we remove trust in God and faith in Him and hope in Him, then we remove the basis of civilization. And we do that at our peril. You know, this is the only book, or I challenge you to read other scriptures of other world religions and see whether what I'm saying is true. This is the only book which really leads us to a basis of faith and hope and love in our lives. And that is the only basis on which civilization can survive. And we in our society have so many romantic views about these wonderful religions from the other side of the world and wish that they could come to our country. And we mustn't teach our children Christianity anymore, but we've got to teach them how to be good Muslims or good Hindus and good Buddhists, so we're told by the religious education experts. In doing that, in removing the Bible, in removing faith and hope and love from our society, we do so at our peril. It's a perilous thing to do. And we're seeing the results, even today. It's because we have an eternal hope that we're more able to live in this world as we should. Because I hope in Jesus, who rose from the dead, because I look for a new heaven and a new earth, I'm more able to live a meaningful life on earth. I'm more fit to live on earth, and more ready for heaven when I die. And Paul says that hope abides. Will there be hope in heaven? If you read the Quran, the holy book of Islam, you'll read a description of heaven in there, according to Muhammad. In heaven, according to the Quran, we'll all be sitting around, being waited upon by beautiful girls, serving us with beautiful drinks. And that will be heaven, which will be fine, if it was true, for a day or two, then never will be bored. Especially when you've got an eternity of just being waited upon with beautiful drinks by beautiful girls. There's no hope for it. It's all very nice for a day or two. But the hope of the Bible and Christian hope is so different from that. It speaks of a life full of meaning, an eternal life full of meaning. It speaks of men and women as kings and queens of a new creation, which is what God intended us from the beginning when he gave us authority over all of nature. Therefore, purpose for living and the great tasks of eternity will go on forever. There'll be no boredom. There'll be plenty to occupy our minds in joy and peace and love. Hope abides forever in fellowship with the Lord. And love abides. What is love? In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to take away our sins. And that love he shares with us. Love is eternal. Love, that love which is with the Father and the Son before the world was created. The love of the Spirit between the Father and the Son, that is the love of the Trinity, God wishes to share with each one of us, that we might partake in it, that we might be his children. Love is self-giving. I asked a Muslim friend of mine in Malawi, who I gave a lift to one day in the car, I said, do you believe that God loves? He said, yes. I said, what does God do when he sees a world of sin and sadness? And he said, well, God doesn't do anything. And I said, well, we believe in Christ that because God loves, he does do something. God loved the world so dearly that he did something. He gave his only Son, that anyone who believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his only Son under death for our sakes, and therefore the cross is that great sign of eternal love. And when Jesus rose from the dead in his body of glory, the nail prints from the cross were still there in his hands and in his feet, even in glory, which teaches me that the cross was not only a sign of Christ in this world, but also in eternity, in heaven itself. That love of the cross will abide forever. It's not just something we'll know about in this world. It will be with us in all eternity. That love is there forever. And it's because of those nail prints and of that self-giving love of Christ that we can have faith and we can have hope. Without those nail prints of love, there will be no faith and no hope for us, because we're all sinners, we've all done wrong. And so we will never forget the love of the cross. It will be the symbol of Christ on earth and in heaven. Faith and hope abide. But without love, there will be no faith and hope. Therefore, the greatest of these is love. May that love be in each one of us in this coming year and forever. Let us pray. Dear gracious God, our Father, we thank thee for that eternal love with which thou hast loved us from the beginning. We pray that that love may be in our hearts, that we love all people whom we meet day by day. May our faith and hope in thee be strengthened through that love. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.